You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 6. Real familiar passage of Scripture we're going to read here, but I want to center in on one verse and one point on this verse. I do have a point tonight. I like to always say that I don't always have a lot of points, but I generally always at least have one. I've heard sermons that were pointless. Hello.
Amen.
But you know, we always have a point here.
Amen.
Don't sound real excited about that. But, this is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but in reality it was a prayer for us to pray. In Matthew 6, chapter 9, verse, actually in response to them won't know how to pray, Jesus said, this manner therefore pray. That's real common back then. They'd have what they would call an index prayer, where you cover certain points and you cover certain areas of your life. When you pray, you want to pray this, you want to pray this, you want to pray this, you want to pray that. And so it wasn't as flamboyant as we like to make it. This is the Lord's Prayer. No, this was the Lord telling them how to pray, actually. He was saying, after this manner of pattern, pray. This pattern, this synopsis. And it wasn't that detailed per se. It just covered some areas. It talked about your daily bread. Hello. Talked about your sins. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And it talked about worshiping God. You start out saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we've often memorized this prayer. Many people have. And rightly so. It's a great prayer for you to pray, me to pray. But I think there's something in here sometimes we miss when we read it because we're thinking just about God and His awesomeness, and not thinking about the way He operates and the way He moves. Hello, stay with me. And we all know God's great, God's good, God's awesome, and we should know that. And we should start our prayers out that way, talking about His greatness. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Holy are You, Lord. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's the verse I want to center in on, that 10th verse. Notice, it says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is a prayer. You'd grant me that. Would you say this is a prayer?
Yes.
Jesus said, after this manner, pray. So we're praying a certain way or a certain pattern, covering certain areas of our life and so on and so forth. And He told us to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, He didn't tell us to pray for God's will to be done in heaven. He told us to pray for God's will to be done in earth, as it is in heaven. And that really speaks volumes to us if you think about it. Heaven is not your domain or nor your responsibility, but this earth is. We don't pray for people to be healed in heaven. We don't pray for people to prosper in heaven. We don't pray for people to have peace in heaven. We don't pray for financial blessing or family matters or peace or all those subjects we get into. We don't pray for anybody in heaven. We pray for people on the earth. Why? Because this is where we are.
There you go.
Amen.
And this is what God told us to do. And so God is the healer. God is the peace giver. God's the one that prospers. God's the one that moves, yes, but He left it up to us to ask Him and to pray because this is where we live. And this is our responsibility.
There you go.
Now, the earth may be the Lord's, and it is. And the fullness thereof, no question. But like it or not, God has placed us down here in a place or position of authority. And that's what prayer is all about. Hallelujah. And when God moves, He moves through us. He still gets the glory. He still gets the honor. He still gets the praise. He's still the one that does it. But He is waiting on us to call. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered, shall be healed. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open unto you. He didn't say, it doesn't matter whether you ask or not, you'll get it anyway. He didn't say, it doesn't matter whether you look for it or not, I'll give it to you. He didn't say, the door is open, you don't have to knock. Hello? He gave us a responsibility, and even in what we call the Lord's Prayer, we can see it very plainly here. So this domain, this earth we live in, while we're here, I'll tell you what's wrong with the world, not God. What's wrong with the world is us.
Yeah,
we have found the enemy, and he is us.
That's right.
People often say, you never know what the Lord will do. No, we're flaky. We know what the Lord will do. It's us that wake up new world every day. It's us that have brought most of the pain and evil and wickedness upon the earth. And if it wasn't us in particular, it was mankind as a whole. And it sure came from Adam when he sinned some 6,000 years ago. He's the one that brought sin into the world, and through sin came death. And so God's not responsible for that part of the pain of life and the famine of life and the evils of life and the troubles of life. You trace that back to sin. That sin started with Adam. And what happened was the devil had an inroad. The devil all of a sudden now had a place to come in. And he's been walking around causing havoc and stealing, killing, and destroying ever since. And Jesus said it in John 10:10. He said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." But if you look at the big picture, you might say, well, why doesn't God do more than he does? Because if you look at the big picture, we're responsible for praying and believing God. Yeah. And because we don't pray and believe, we don't see a lot happening. There are more lost people than saved people in the earth. Did you know that?
Yep.
There's a broad way leads to destruction, narrow way leads to eternal life. So that means there's not really, comparatively, a ratio. The percentage is not high for those that are really believing God and standing on the Word to make a difference and make a change. And so evil continues. Now, granted, God's going to stop all this one day. Jesus is going to come back. But until then, we're here. Till that time comes, he told us to pray for God's will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. However it is up there, we're supposed to pray for it to be done that way down here. When sickness comes, we're to pray for healing. Where there's confusion, we pray for peace. Where there's poverty, we pray for prosperity. Where there's disharmony, we pray for unity. Why? Because that's what's in heaven. We never pray for a healed person to get sick, for someone content and sound mind to get confused. See, you never turn those prayer requests in. You ever notice that? Everybody turns prayer requests in to make something better because something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's rotten in Denmark. Something's wrong right here in River City. Hello. But you know what? We can do something about it. We can do something about it. And Jesus made it very plain in that, what we call the Lord's Prayer, in that pattern prayer, when he told us to pray for God's will to be done. Now, you might say, well, doesn't God just do whatever he wants to do? No, he doesn't. If he did, he wouldn't ask you to pray for his will to be done. If God's going to do everything he's going to do, he'd never ask you to do anything. He would never tell you to forgive or love or walk holy or do anything. But see, you have a choice and you have a will. So that's why we have commands. That's why I have prohibitions. That's why God says don't do this and do that. Because God's will doesn't automatically happen. It's subject to your will. Now the world as a whole is going to go rock on just like God said. He's going to come back just like he said. You're not going to thwart that. Jesus is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and like the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, you're not going to change that. But see, you have a choice to be in on the plan or not. That's where your will comes in, my will comes in. God does not dictate every move you make or everything that happens in life. In fact, there are many things that happens he wants to change, and you know what? He wants you to pray so he can move through you to change them. That's why he told you to see. He doesn't need you to change heaven. That's not your domain. But he needs you to change this earth. He needs your prayers and your faith and your holy living, all those things, to move through you, to flow through you. You say, why? Isn't this the Lord's? Well, in one sense it is. Yes, it is the Lord. He made it. But you know what? He made it for man. And when man messed it up, he couldn't take it back. Until the fullness of time, till the consummation of all things, till one day Jesus comes back. But until then, we're still here. We're still responsible. God's still moving through us. Amen. Even when God, think about this. I know I'm throwing a lot out here. I hope you're taking notes. Even when God came down here to change everything, he himself had to become a man to do it. Why didn't he just show up? Why didn't he just show up without all the trappings and all the wrappings and the human form and so on? Why didn't he just show up and just change everything. Well, no, God made the earth for man. He honored that. He's a God of His Word and a God of integrity. Just because we messed it up, He's not going to just jerk it all back from us. He's going to let it take its course. And the only way He could redeem us is to become a man Himself. Just like we are. He had to become a baby in a manger and grow up. The difference was, of course, this baby had no sin. Because this baby didn't inherit any sin from Adam because Adam wasn't his father. God was his father. So he had no sin. And so we got a sinless, perfect human being now. Hadn't had one of those since Adam. And it's God. It's God, a God-man. It's God becoming a man. Living a perfect, sinless, holy life as a man. And He died for your sins. And rose again. The firstborn man from the dead. God, yeah, but man. The first man born from the dead. The first born again man. And people have been born again ever since. He was the captain, the leader of our salvation, the firstborn man, the firstborn among many brethren, the Bible says. We got a whole new family going on now. Did you know there's only one legal way you could get in this earth? Only one. You got to be born in this earth. That's your legal right to be here. I'm not losing you, am I? Think about it. That's why the devil has to use your mother-in-law or somebody, you know, like... Well, I mean, the devil doesn't show up with a red hat and a pitchfork and, you know, and say, I'm the devil. He moves through somebody. I mean, he has to use people. Well, I'll tell you something else. God's the same way. God Himself uses people. Flows through you. Flows through me. Because right now, even though God owns the earth and it's His, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, He created the earth, He made the earth for man, though. And so man is the legal authority here that God uses or flows through. Delegated authority, yes. He doesn't have absolute authority. Only God has absolute authority. But when God delegates authority, He didn't just go around ripping people up and throwing them out of the way and taking away their position. And so we still have the position down here. We made a mess of it, no doubt about it. But if we'll get back right with God, He can start flowing through us again. Amen. Are you with me? And so the only legal right you have to be here is your body. Let me tell you something. You leave this body, you're not staying around down here. What did Paul say to be absent from the body? Is to be present with the Lord. See, think about it. Because when you leave this body... You have no right to be here. Aren't we coming back? Yeah, when you get a new body, you'll come back here. When this corruption puts on incorruption, this mortal puts on immortality, when death is swallowed up of life, you'll come back here. And you'll have a body that can operate down here. That's kind of interesting. It can operate down here. That new body, that glorified body, can operate down here and in heaven. And if you're going to go out in the ocean... And you're going to mess around down there, you're going to have a scuba suit on. Diving suit. Isn't that right? Because to operate under the ocean, you've got to have a certain type of suit on. If you want to go to the moon, you've got to have a space suit. Isn't that correct? It's the only way you can operate out there. If you want to operate on Earth, you've got to have an Earth suit. That's this thing right here, see? But there's a suit coming that'll operate in all those worlds. It's a new suit, new set of clothes coming. But until that comes, then we're here, as long as we're in this body, then we have an obligation, responsibility to pray and to serve God and seek His face. Now, that's why Jesus had to take on a body Himself to do what He did. Now, turn with me. Y'all still with me? Turn to Genesis 1. This is good stuff. What we're talking about is just the process. Why is it that we have to pray? Well, obviously we have to pray because we're here. And just that one little verse tells us that, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Everybody say, pray ye.
Pray ye.
So he's saying, let me sum it up. He's saying for you to pray for God's will to be done in the earth. What if you don't pray it? Won't be done. Oh, sure it will. No, it won't. Do you think you'll go to heaven without calling on Jesus? No. It's until you call on the name of the Lord, you can't be saved. What is God's will for you? That none should perish, but all should come to eternal life. Did you know God's will not come to pass for you if you don't pray, though? Wow. I thought God's will is always done. No, it's not. It's not always done. In fact, the Bible's filled with times that it wasn't done, that it never came to pass, that it never happened. Why? Because people didn't believe, and they didn't do their part. Boom. Hallelujah. That's why I need to pray. That's why you need to pray. And also, that puts an awesome responsibility upon us. It should move us to get involved in the process. Because there's a lot not getting done because we're not doing what we ought to do. It should stir us, give us confidence, yes. It should charge us, hey, stand up and be counted here. You're a Christian. You're a believer. Did you know when you pray, things happen? When you use the name of Jesus, heaven pays attention. Demons tremble.
Yes, amen.
Sickness leaves. Hallelujah.
Yep.
That's a wonderful thing to think of it that way. But also, it is a sobering thing because now I am responsible. As a church are the last vestige of hope any community has for any morality or holiness, and that puts a lot of responsibility on us. We need to walk right, live right, because the world's not going to do it. See, we're that standard. But praise God, we're not without help and authority. Genesis 1, hallelujah. I know we're maybe getting a little technical tonight. That's all right. Sometimes you need to do that. Genesis 1:26. Notice what it says here. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. Everybody say dominion.
Dominion.
See, there's the transference of authority, as it were. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds there, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I always like to say we got dominion over the creeps. Isn't that good? So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now we see that. You don't even have to have a lot of snap to figure that out, who's dominating down here. It's not as bad as the lions and bears are. They don't dominate. They don't rule. Elephants don't rule. Hello. I mean, as close as any of them ever got was that little gecko that sells insurance. That's about as close as he ever, you know what I'm saying? But no, man rules. Man jets across the sky and speeds across the land and the seas. And, you know, we rule. We can see that in the natural. But see, spiritually, we've dropped the ball, I think. We've dropped the ball because he would meant that we are supposed to rule also spiritually down here. That's why it's in such a mess. Hello? So he says this. Fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. See, when Adam sinned, it affected the whole world. When he fell, the whole world fell. And God's going to redeem the whole world. You know that? He's going to change every bit of it. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But notice the process, though. The earth fell when man fell. The earth won't be redeemed until man's redeemed. First, he can't redeem man. Because a man's got to be right. That's what the earth was made for. And then he gets all the men and women out of the earth that are not right. That's what will happen in the last days. That's what will happen in the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20. It says all the dead will stand before the great white throne and all the books will be opened. And hell and death will deliver up their dead. Think about it. That's the lost people, the people who don't know God. They have to be taken out. And then we've got nothing but redeemed man here on earth in Jesus. That's all we have. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That's what John saw in Revelation chapter 21, chapter 22. But think about the pattern. I mean, man was responsible, so when man fell, the whole earth fell. I mean, where did the animals sin? They didn't sin. Where did the trees sin with all the disease out there in the forest? No, they did. The earth didn't sin. Man sinned. And him being over the earth, sin came on the earth. And destruction came on the earth. storms and all those kinds of things. Really, you can go back to Adam, and his sin started the process. It took a while for people to die even after his sin. If you go back and look at the genealogy, they lived over 900 years. Adam lived 930 years. He didn't even know how to die. But sin finally took its toll and he died. Then of course, Seth, and you know, right on down the list of people that died. Enoch, he lived 365 years, was taken up to be with God. People are living. Methuselah lived 969 years. But sin began to take its toll. Noah was the last long liver. He lived about 950. His son, Shem, about 600 and something. Then it went from 600 to 400 to 200 to about 120. That's what it came down to. Hello. So you see here authority. And who has this authority? Who has authority over the earth? Man does. Now you can say God, that's true. God's ultimate authority over everything. But God gave delegated authority to us. It'd be just like a school. If you went into a high school, and you have a school board, you have a superintendent, you have a principal, and then you have teachers in each of those classes. That teacher is responsible for that class. Now, you can't appeal to the principal, and the principal can't appeal to the school board or superintendent, then the school board. But ultimately, the teacher will actually lose their job if they don't take the authority in that class and exercise the authority in that class. And they can cry all they want to, I wish the principal's here, I wish the principal here. But the principal's saying, no, that's why I hired you. That's what you're there for, is to exercise authority in that class. Amen. Delegated, yes. Absolutely, no. Of course, you have to appeal to the court of heaven. But see, I'm still here in this earth, in this domain, in my house, in my town where I live. You and your town, your house, you have delegated authority. Most things don't get done because we don't do them. We don't pray. God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. See, when the devil tries to run you around, when he tries to sell you a bill of goods, when he tries to kill your children, kill you, kill your job, kill your family, whatever the case may be, first of all, pull out your birth certificate. That's a good way to think about it. Ask him for his. He doesn't have one. He doesn't have a right to be here. And if he pulls that one, well, yeah, I do now because Adam sinned, you could say, look, I've been born again. I was born in this earth, and I've been born again. And in the name of Jesus, take your bag of goods and get on down the road somewhere else. Not going to happen here. I go to International Outreach Church. I know better. Hello? Think about it. So in one sense, you got two rights. You've been born here, and you've been born again. You have a voice here, and now since you've been born again, you got a voice in heaven. You have the ear of heaven. Because God's your Father. Ooh, hallelujah. You need to subdue, you need to conquer. How? Through prayer, through confession, through praying about things, confessing the Word of God, standing on the promises of God, not taking things as you see them or feel them. You're here to make a difference, to make a change. You're here to overcome, not be overcome, not be dominated. You're here to dominate. I know you're shouting and hollering about this message, but... It's truth nonetheless. Look at Psalms 115. Psalms 115. You know, really, this gets so good. I got some things I want to share. I don't know if you can handle these things I'm going to share next. Oh, no, I don't know if you're ready for this. I don't know if your ears are ready. I think maybe you have need of milk and not meat here tonight. I've got some things I want to share. Might be a little too deep. I don't know.
Oh, brother.
Psalm 115. Oh, this is good. Look at the 12th verse. I love this one. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He'll bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. Yeah. Well, obviously, if you call on Him, you fear Him, you trust Him, He'll bless you. He wants to bless everybody, but He can't. He only bless those that really, in one sense, now I say this with all reverence and respect for God, don't think it's sacrilegious when I say this. Don't think it's blasphemous at all. But he blesses those who give him permission to bless them. You understand how I say that? I mean, he's God and you're not. I understand that. But you have to pray. He can't just bless anybody. He blesses those that have a covenant with him. He blesses those that fear him. Okay. 14th verse. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Isn't that what it says? The earth has he given to the children of men. Look at Psalms 8. We're talking about authority of man. Everybody say delegated.
Delegated.
That's important because absolute authority always belongs to God. No man has absolute authority. But we do have delegated authority from God to make a difference where we live. And we live here. And you have an earth suit. You have a right to be here. The devil's down here illegally because he's a thief and a robber and a liar anyway. He came through Adam's sin. Hello?
Yes.
And you can stop him by believing and trusting God. Psalms 8, this is a real familiar scripture or psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Psalms 8, verse 1. Who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. How do you silence the enemy and the avenger? Out of the mouth of babes. He silences the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes. When I consider your heavens, third verse, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor, and you have made him to have dominion over all the works of your hands. Did y'all read that? Is that what your Bible says? Same thing. It says you made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep, oxen, the beasts of the field, the birds there, the fish of the sea, the pasture of the pass of the sea. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. But see, there's no mistake here. The earth is our responsibility. The earth is our domain. The earth is our dominion. That's why it's in such a mess. But as Christians, as believers, get a hold of the Word of God, we can turn the tide. We can pray when we see problems. That's why he said, is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, who prayed that it rain not for 3.5 years and it rained not. And then he prayed that it rained and it rained. Whoa. That's pretty good, isn't it? Think about it. What's he talking about? He's talking about position. He's talking about the office that we stand in. He's talking about the authority that he has conveyed upon mankind. That's why the church has to pray. That's why the church has to believe. That's why things happen when you pray and I pray and believe. Because God placed us down here as his base of operations. A base of operation. His modus operandi. We are how he operates in the earth. We are how he moves in the earth. That's why you need to live for God. That's why you need to pray and believe God and stand on the Word. That's why Jesus had to become a man. And when Jesus did what he did as a man. He didn't do it as God. He was God, but he did what he did as a man. He never did a miracle till the Spirit of God came on him, proving to you and me that we need the Spirit of God on us. Setting the example for us to follow. You wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power and you shall be witnesses. Why? Because he waited for the Spirit of God to come on him. Luke 4, chapter 14, verse, he came out of the wilderness, the Bible says, in the power of the Spirit. When asked God, why would he need the power of the Spirit? But as a man, he would, wouldn't he? He was God, but he operated as a man. You understand what I'm saying? We're not taking away the deity of Jesus Christ. But he did what he did as a man, He died as a man, healed the sick as a man, raised the dead as a man, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he could send his disciples out to do the same thing. That's why he told us these signs follow them that believe. That's why he tells us to pray for people to be healed. Because we're here. He's there. You ever notice when the devil... I'll get to that later. Turn with me to Mark 2. I don't think you're ready for that one. Mark 2. I might as well just throw it all out here in a minute and let y'all just go home goggle-eyed or something. I don't know. Mark 2. Mark 2nd chapter. I did tell you to turn there, didn't I?
Yes.
Is that where I want to go? Yes, Mark 2. This is a real familiar passage. We've taught on this before. Remember the man that was paralytic, let down through the roof? The guys tore the roof off and let him down through there. Jesus saw his faith and said, "Son, your sins be forgiven you." And then people got all upset. Pharisees and scribes says, "Who does this man think he is? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Remember that? Okay. I just read it for you out loud. Anyway, it says here, the 8th verse, "Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man, has power on earth to for authority." That's what that word should be. "That the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house." And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they're all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Never been to a church service like that. I guess not. But that being the case, Jesus was very emphatic and very specific when he said that the Son of Man had authority. He said, "Oh, what are you talking about?" Well, you know, that was Jesus' pet name. That's what he called himself over and over. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus called himself the Son of Man 32 times in Matthew alone. And 15 times in Mark, 26 times in Luke, and 12 times in John. He called himself the Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man. In fact, he only called himself the Son of God 5 times in all 4 Gospels, and it was only in John. And it was never concerning authority. This case right here where he says that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins is repeated in Matthew and it's repeated in Luke. The very same phrase. 3 times he says this very same phrase. And notice how he associates authority with the fact that he's the Son of Man. Was he the Son of God? Yes, he was. But his authority came because he was Son of Man. Okay, that's going over real big. See, here's been a problem a lot of times in the church. We look at Jesus and see what he did, and we say, "Well, we can never do that. That's Jesus." But what we fail to see is Jesus did what he did as an example for us to follow, and he did what he did as a man. And that's why he sent the disciples out to do the same thing. By the power of God, yes. In the name of Jesus, no question. As a born-again person, without a doubt. We understand that. But we're the ones that got to do it. We're the ones that got to pray. We're the ones that got to lay the hands on the sick. Because we're here. This is our domain. It's where we live. Don't let the devil run your family. Don't let the devil run your job. Don't let the devil take over your body. Come on, stand up and make a difference and be counted. Use that authority God gave you. Now, while we're in that same chapter, notice this. Jesus said in 27th verse, he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." They were getting on to him because he was eating corn on the Sabbath day. That's a sad state when a church won't let you eat corn on Sabbath day. I'm telling you what. But the point he made to them was that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, since it was made for man, and the whole earth was made for man, therefore, who was over the Sabbath and over the earth? Son of man, Jesus as a man. Authority again, I see he's talking about authority and he uses the term son of man. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. That's repeated in Matthew. That's also repeated in Luke. Exact wording. Again. So if you were to count that up, there's six times already he associates being the Son of Man with authority. Why? Because that's where he got his authority. Turn to John 5. Your head's spinning, isn't it? Isn't it spinning right now? You're thinking about it? This is good. This is good for you. This is good for me. This encourages me to pray. This gives me license to pray. This means that when I pray, God hears me when I pray. Amen? Because I'm in this earth, and so I'm how He moves in the earth. I've been born again now. I have an audience of heaven. I'm a Christian, a believer now. I can use the name of Jesus, and I'm in a body. I'm walking around in a body now. And so when I pray, things happen. When you pray, things happen. Hallelujah. You're not going to have to fight sickness and disease when you get to heaven. You're not going to have to pray for people to be blessed when you get to heaven. You're not going to have to pray for peace. You're not going to have to come against depression when you get to heaven, stop storms when you get to heaven. There are none up there.
Hallelujah.
There's not a storm up there to stop. There's not a depression, a cloud of depression in the whole sky of heaven. It's all down here. We need to do something about it.
That's
what the church does. That's what we pray.
Yes.
Hello? Because we have the authority. It's the authority of man in the earth. And actually, that's what was restored in Jesus. A lot of what was lost was restored in Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. John 5, you're going to love this. Here's one time where he talks about being the Son of God. 25th verse, John 5, 25. Most surely I say to you, verily, verily I say to you. Verily, verily just means of a truth, most assuredly. So be it, so be it. Amen. It's the same word in Greek translated verily. Amen, so be it, of a truth. Most surely I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Everybody say Son of God.
Son of God.
Okay, and everybody say live.
Live.
Okay, there's life. I like that. And really that's why Jesus has life. Because he came from God. That word life there is Zoe. That's the God kind of life. That's what you and I have now as born again believers. Everybody has life, but not everybody has Zoe life. The God kind of life. That's a different word in the Greek, incidentally. John 3:16, for God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Zoe life. That's God kind of life. Oh, everybody's got life, but not everybody has Zoe life. Not everybody has the God kind of life. Only Christians have that. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Life, Zoe, God kind of life. See, if you can't lose your life, you won't find it. That's not Zoe life. That Greek word is psuche. That's natural life. If you can't give away this old life, and it's a great exchange, really. You exchange your worthless, no good life for God's life. You say, well, I'm alive. Yeah, but you got life that's not good. It's life without God. It's not the God kind of life. Jesus came to give us the God kind of life. He could do it because he came from God. He has authority down here because he became a man. I'll prove it. Let's read on. 26 verse, for as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. And He has given Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man.
There you go.
No, you didn't get it. You didn't get that. No, let's read it again. As the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself and has given Him authority to execute judgment also because He is the Son of Man.
Amen.
So He has life because He's from God. He has authority because He's Son of Man.
Right. Yes. There you go.
Woo! get it? He came down here legally. He came down here right. He was born in this earth. He had a legal right to be here. Did you know that's where the devil's challenged him? That's what I was going to say a while ago. I thought, now I'm going to tell you anyway. Did you know the devil and demons addressed Jesus as the Son of God? 3 times. I think 3 times in Matthew, 3 times in Mark, 5 times in Luke. Either the devil himself or demons addressed Jesus, and they always accused him or addressed him as the Son of God or the Holy One of God. Never one time do you ever hear the devil ever calling Jesus the Son of Man. Never. Never, ever do you see a demon crying out, "We know who you are, the Son of Man." Because they didn't know who he was. They knew he was from God. They didn't think he could be doing what he was doing, and they would challenge him on many occasions. In one case, they rebuked him. Oh, you think I'm making it up, huh? If you're the Son of God, do this. That's what the devil said several times. Jesus was going to cast the devil out. One time, the devil rose up and says, "You can't do that." Basically, he says, "I adjure you by God." Now, what is the devil adjuring and rebuking Jesus? What are you talking about? Because the demon recognized Jesus as God, but didn't realize he was doing what he's doing as a man.
Hallelujah.
And you know what Jesus would say? "Shut up and come out of him."
Yeah.
You read it. I mean, in fact, let's just go over there.
Come on.
Just blow you away. Might as well just blow you out of the water here, okay? Mark 5. Here's one case. And there's several, and I challenge you. You go look it up. You go. When I first heard this, I thought, "You have got to be kidding." Really, years ago, I heard this, and I thought, "No, that is the craziest thing I ever heard in my life." And I started studying. I started reading. The devil never called Jesus the Son of Man. Never, not one time. In fact, he even challenged him. Here in Mark 5th chapter. Come on, to be honest. Some of y'all, you're thinking, you've never heard this, right?
Right.
Okay, it's new, isn't it? Now, with anything new, don't take it hook, line, and sinker. You go study it out. But I believe you'll find it to be true. And what it doesn't change anything about who Jesus is. It doesn't change the fact he died for our sins and rose again. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, went to hell, rose again. The tomb's empty. He's the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man. What it does, it clarifies for us and explains to us why we have power when we pray and why we are compelled to pray and why God tells us to pray, why Jesus told us to pray, and why he said specifically, pray God's will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Because you ain't got anything to do with heaven, but you sure got a whole lot to do with what's going on down here.
There you go.
In fact, that's the problem down here. We're not praying enough. We're not believing God enough. We're not standing on the Word enough. And God's waiting on us to pray so he can move through us. Because God does everything legally. He's not a rebel. He's not radical. He's not going to come in here and just take over without going through the proper channels that he himself set up. God's the one that set the channels up.
That's right.
And even when he had redeemed mankind, he did it right, and he did it holy, he did it legally. He became a man himself. Because he's the one that made the requirement. He said a male without spot, without blemish, had to shed his blood for the sins of the people. Well, everybody born was born in sin. And there was no such thing as a male without spot, without blemish. So how does a bunch of slaves, us lost people, redeem ourselves when we're all lost and we keep perpetuating that? Everybody's born in sin. Well, God took care of it. He came down himself, and Jesus was born from God. He was God with us. Sinless, yet a man. And as a man, sinless man, he met the requirements of the law that God himself made. And he is a male without spot, without blemish, gave himself, and he is the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. But he did it legally. He did it right. And he did it with authority. John 5. This is lighting my fuse tonight. I love this. John 5. Oh, Mark 5, right. Mark 5. I thought y'all were calling on somebody.
Mark.
I said John. They go, Mark. Kind of like those seagulls and Finding Nemo. Mine. Okay. You can tell I got grandkids. In Mark 5, When he saw Jesus afar off, this man being possessed, sixth verse, he saw Jesus afar off, seventh verse, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore or adjure or I rebuke you by God that you torment me not." What is that? A demon rebuking Jesus and appealing to God about it. I mean, we read that and just go right on. But wait a minute. Whoa. That demon thought he had a case here. He thought he had a right. You got no business to be down here, Jesus. We know who you are, the Son of God. But see, Jesus was not doing what he was doing as the Son of God. He was doing what he was doing as the Son of Man. Read it again. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore, I adjure, I charge you by God that you do not torment me. I appeal to the court of heaven. You got no right to be here." That's basically what he was saying. And of course, Jesus said, "Come out of the man." Hello. Didn't pay attention to him. In fact, if you'll go through some of these cases, either the devil himself or demons, three times in Matthew, three times in Mark, five times in Luke, and go read them, many times demons would cry out and say, "We know who you are, the Son of God," and Jesus would rebuke them and tell them to be quiet and come out. And of course, they would have to come out, because he had a right to say come out, because he was a perfect, sinless, holy man. He was from God, but he had authority because he was the Son of Man. He was Lord of the Sabbath because he was the Son of Man. He had authority to forgive sins because he was the Son of Man. And on and on and on and on and on. In fact, if you go over to Mark 12 real quick. Mark 12. It's just in here. I don't know if I go to Mark 12. Go to Mark 12, Mark 13, Mark 14. Where do I want to go? Mark 13. Mark 13, we'll close this out. Now, is this opening up some stuff for you? No, it's believer's night. People come Sunday morning, love the church. People come Sunday night, love the pastor. People come Wednesday, they love Jesus. So you're serious, you wouldn't be here. And this is a teaching session. But the whole point now, listen, the whole point of all knowledge has an intent or has a purpose. And the whole point of all knowledge is action. The whole point of all this is we need to pray. Amen? You need to pray when something happens in your life. You need to stand on the Word of God. And you know what? You got a right to stand on the Word of God. You are here for that purpose. That's why when you got saved, you didn't go straight to heaven. You're staying around here a little while longer. God wants to use you. He wants to do some things down here. He wants to change this community. He wants to change your family. He wants to change the job you're on. He wants to change this city. Are you with me? This state and this country, this world that we live in. That's why we're still here, to make a difference. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, the devil, the Antichrist, can't even come to power until we get out of here. There's no way. Because we'd start praying and he wouldn't be able to do anything. Okay.
Hallelujah.
All right. 13th chapter. Jesus is talking about leaving and so on and so forth. The end of the world. 33rd verse. 13th chapter, 33rd verse. "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is, the end of the world. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants." A man who left his house and gave authority to his servants. Now the analogy is pretty plain, really. Who left and went to a far country here? Jesus. What did he leave when he left here? He left authority. He left us and he gave us authority. In fact, that's what the Great Commission, Matthew 28. He says, "Go ye into all the world." He says, "All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore." Teaching all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whatsoever things I've commanded you to observe, teach them also. So he says this, is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. That's Jesus. In the evening or at night or at the crowing of the rooster or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Jesus was very emphatic about leaving and leaving authority. How can he leave authority to us? We're just men. We're just men and women, mankind. Because he had authority as a man. And he conferred that or transferred that upon us as men, as women, as part of the human race, born again. And we're not supposed to be caught sleeping when he comes back. We're supposed to be caught using that authority. Praying, believing, laying hands on the sick. Amen. Yeah, making a difference, making a change. Hallelujah. And that's what we're doing at International Outreach Church. That's what we always do. Amen. Praise God. But anyway, that's just a little, maybe detailed, maybe a little intense, maybe a little deep, but it kind of gets... It'll knock some cobwebs out of your thinking. Give you a little more confidence when you pray. That's some of the whys and the wherefores of what prayer is about and why it works. Authority? Well, that's, we have authority. We're in the earth. A couple things you need to remember. You were born here. Pull your birth certificate out and look at it. And you're born again. Amen?